Okay, here we are. That was my bad. I was in the kind of the wrong channel here. So Nick, disregard that message. Welcome back to the Outcast podcast. We got Rev, we got Rob, we got Van. We got some great topics for you guys tonight. Just getting back from COVID. Voice should be getting a little bit better, as you can hear. Good to be back. But guys, how are we doing tonight?
Doing real good.
Doing good. Doing good. Can't complain.
There has been some amazing back and forth about team selection in the chat. We, you know, this is unscripted. This is off of Rev's questions. I mean, do we honestly think that the young buck has the mocks to swipe a team from Jiggy? And if so, is it a smart move? Rob, I'm going to start with you.
Absolutely not a smart move. No way I would want to paint a target on my back.
No. Rev, what about you? What are you thinking?
I don't think he's got the, here, we'll use a Spanish phrase. I don't think he's got the cojones to take Jiggy's team. I think he just isn't. I think he's just all talk. I think he's, trying to be a Nick 2.0. You know, teasing Busy. So, You know, he's teasing Jiggy.
Well, I know that he loves to hit beehives. I mean, he's hit my beehive a couple of times. He's walking around swinging this stick, and which is fun, and it's good to a degree. I just don't know. Like, I mean, the team selection could use a little bit more chaos than Nick. Nick usually kind of generates the main chaos with his selection. Anything under Nick, like Rob isn't going to kick anybody in the teeth. Pride isn't. You know, Grizz isn't. So this might be the only guy in there willing to take a few shots.
I mean, I'm all for it. I mean,
I think it's just smoke screen. Just to, you know, he's too good of a guy. It's just a smoke screen.
So you're telling me he's doing all this work, which is great. He's doing all this work, and he's going to take the Redskins. The Commanders, sorry.
I don't think he takes the Redskins to arm. Sorry, doesn't take the Commanders. Yeah, I don't want to be canceled on the show. I think he takes the Buccaneers because he was really high in them, and I looked at the Buccaneers and their quarterback sucks, but they got a good defense, so I think he takes them, and he. I think he goes with that. I don't think he goes with the Commanders. I mean, I can't see someone working up that high. But then again, I mean, if you choose your team based because, you know, that's your favorite team and you don't care if they, you know, they're really great or they suck, then I guess that would be sort of a thing. But I can't see anybody, like, you know, jumping over anybody to try to get the Commanders from anybody. So,
yeah, I mean, I think he's young enough not to care. Like I think he's like, I don't give a shit, I would do it and not care. So, you know, it's certainly going to be, he certainly added a little bit of spice to selection. He's certainly done enough content to earn that pick. So we'll have to see what happens. And then obviously Rob talking about not taking the Bills has got everybody's being a bonnet. So we're gonna have to really figure out what goes down here. It's going to be a great show. Countdown is on. Okay, on to Friday's podcast topics. The first question is a very, very good one. And there was one that I could not come up with an answer for, but we're going to rate the best users on offense and defense. Who has the best passing game, best running game, best run defense, best pass defense? So I'm assuming you guys have all done your research. Rev, it's your question. I'm going to pass this one to you, sir, first.
Oh, the game put me in the spot. Think, do you want me just to do offense first and then we'll kind of rotate it around and then we'll go to defense and do it right there? Or do you want me just to spit out all my answers?
Let's go offense first and then we'll recycle. We'll start with Rob on defense after.
Okay. So I think the best passing game right now has to go to Jiggy right now. It's like a close tie between him, Nick, and believe it or not, Brackett. excuse me. I think those three guys, but like I said, I give the edge to Jiggy just because his touchdown to interception ratio is extremely good. And then the running game, playing this guy, I think I played him once. I played the Colts, and I think he's pretty good at running the ball. I also watched a lot of Pride's games, and if Pride gets the running game going, it gets, you know, it can be very boring for somebody on the other side and get very frustrating. And then you start loading the box, and then he can just easily just throw it over the top. So I think I'm just going to go with Pride on this one for the running game.
Yeah, and Pride doesn't care if he's down.
He doesn't.
No. Rob, what about you?
Well, as far as the passing game, I'm going to try to not name anybody that he mentioned. What about this revolve? I was looking at the Cardinals, and they've got, like, you know, 22 passing touchdowns. I mean, you know, I really was kind of surprised by his statistics. I was going to mention Nick because of all the speed, but I'll go with Revolver on the passing. Somebody different to talk about.
But have you played him a couple of times? I have yet to play him.
I have played him one time. Really fun game. Really, really back and forth, close game. A lot of fun. You know, mistakes on both sides. Typical Madden style game. But it was very enjoyable.
Nice. That's good to hear.
But
chat.
I think we've been very fortunate. I think we've really added people, and that'll come up later in the questions. But as far as the running, I'm going to go with that Nick Eubanks. Whoa. That guy, he is really good at running the ball. Now, I know there's different styles of running, but man, he is pretty clever at moving the ball on the ground. So that's my pick there.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, Eubanks was my pick for sure. Like, you know what pisses me off? Now, everyone in the league knows that I hate good runners because I'm not great at stopping the run. But boy, oh boy, when it's 3rd and 7 and you're running, and I'm in a deep quarters, I just I am just pissed. So Eubanks doesn't care what the down. I don't even think he looks at down and distance. He just calls the plays that he knows that he's comfortable with. And runs him, which makes him so unpredictable with that. Like, I'm like, there's no way he's running. Boom. Busy does that too. Busy will run on 3rd and long.
Yep.
Right. And it'll gash you. And as he's breaking that tackle the first down, you're like, shit, I'm not going to fucking bite for this again. And then the next 3rd and long, you do the same thing and get beat again. It's rough, man. But Eubanks, I have to agree with that guy. He was on my
Shout out to Eubanks and his running back helping me out in the fantasy football thing there. He's killing it. He's killing it over there. So good pick.
Okay, so let's move over to defense. Red Buckle, back to you.
All right. For the running game, I'm gonna say Boone, and I only say this because. Because it's either tied between him and Nick, but I guess it's just because I've played these guys the most, but Boone is very he forces you to throw the ball, but then Jack also does it too. So, and I've played Jack. I would say Jack probably the best run defense because he forces you to throw the ball. Like, it's like he leaves the middle of the field open, and it's like he dares you just to throw it. But like you try to run the ball and try to keep it balanced, you know, it almost becomes impossible to do. And then for pass defense, I'm trying to look here to see like who I'd pick.
Pass defense was so hard for me because, you know, no one really stood out to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was hard. I left that one off just for the fact that, like, hey, if you're a great user DT and you're busting through on an Insta Shed, That's a good pass offense because I'm panicking, you know?
Yeah, I would have to say, honestly, I'd have to say Sparty with his blitzes that he does. And, you know they're coming because you see them all lined up. He likes to run that, like, that 4-3 outside blitz a lot. And it's like your offensive linemen just look dumbfounded. They'll just, you know, stare at him running by. And it make it, you know, that pass rush makes it so hard to, you know, make the reads if you never played him. Like, if you played him and you studied game and watched his game film, you know, you can always counter it. But if you played him for the first time, like, it was very frustrating playing him because it's like the heat was coming almost every single down. And it was like, it was so it was impossible at times to try to establish any consistent offense passing wise with him.
Well, he lives by the blitz and dies by the blitz. You know, you're either going to have a call where you can get it out quick and beat him. I remember playing him, and it was we were tied, and it was fourth down, and I went for it. It was like fourth and five or whatever, and I knew he was going to send the heat, and I ran like a little skinny post over the middle, and it went for a touchdown.
Nice. Right?
But prior to that, he had sacked me 80% of the time, and I was getting real pissed. So, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Rob, what about you, man?
Well, when it comes to passing, I mean, immediately the first thing I thought of was Jack because he really puts you he's like a boa constrictor, man. He gets you clamped down. But if you look at this season and what's going on, IREC has been – I don't know. I don't know why, but if statistically, if you look at it, he's got like 16 picks, 19 sacks. He's give up the fewest amount of passing yards. He's quietly having a good season at 5-3. So I'm going to say IREC on the pass defense. Give him a little shout out. On the run defense, I'm going to say Brapp. I've been in division with him before. There's something about him and a D tackle, a nose tackle, and he can take away the middle of the field from you in a game. And be very disruptive and force you, you know, trying to run the ball the outside. And it's just a recipe for disaster because you're running right into his trap. So I think I'm going to say Brapp on defense.
He's the best user with no Super Bowl.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Pride's on that list, too. I mean,
Brapp, yeah. I just think with Pride's user on the defensive line. The thing is I'm in his division, and God bless him. We've had a lot of fun. And he's fun to play, but like if I'm running a stretch, he's auto shedding -4. If I'm running an ISO, he's hitting me right in the backfield. And then I'm like, oh man, it's just such an obligatory responsibility to run versus him. It's not that I'm like, hey, I need a first down, man. I'm gonna call this run play. I'm like, I'm probably gonna lose 2 yards. Like that is nasty. Same with Jack. I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to run to make sure that I stay legal here, but I'm not going to get any yards. And if I do, it has to be a stupid Madden broken tackle or a spin or whatever. But I mean, those two guys for me, Jack and Brapp, I don't want to see them ever again. And Brapp, you know, Brapp and I have good games, but I mean, he's on a different level than I am. Okay, so we got some possible rule changes, which was very, very refreshing because it does affect our team selection, right? Like, and it affects how we're going to approach free agency. It affects how we're going to develop players. If there's some rule changes, I mean, we need to know this. So Nick did his best at letting us know what those were. So, Rev, what do you think? What he said?
I liked it. I mean, I think Nick and everybody that's, you know, plays a part in that, the testers, the ones that, you know, sit there and test Madden 24/7, you know, pee in a 2-liter bottle, can't take no breaks. I think those guys do an amazing job because they're constantly testing for things that, you know, the really good users, the really good Madden users are looking in there and they're looking for, they're looking for ways to, you know, sort of like, I don't want to say beat the system, but just kind of have that edge. And, you know, Nick does a phenomenal job. Like, you know, from judging from the outside in, you don't realize that, like, a lot of the stuff that Nick does, like, he's just like one of us, you know, full-time job, you know, has a family and whatnot, but he finds a way to sort of balance it and put, you know, 110% into, you know, doing things for the league, you know what I mean? And this, you know,
he leads by example. Like, if he can do it, if he can do the amount of work that he can do, there's no excuse for not doing your tweets.
Yep, I agree. And I mean, I always get out my, I think I get more than 8 a week, but I mean, I'm good with the rules. I like it. I mean, there's always something that I'd be like, maybe we should do this. And I'm thinking more or less for like the league rather than myself, even when I'm making suggestions. You know what I mean? But yeah, Nick's like a league first type of guy before he's, you know, benefiting himself. Like, he would make a rule, you know, even if it was against him and against what he does, just so that it's better for the league. So,
yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I mean, I like the rules. I mean, I think they're pretty good so far.
Well, and the thing is like, even if he introduces a new rule, it's a pilot. He doesn't have the ego to not take it off the table, which he's done before. Where he's put in a new rule, it hasn't worked. He's like, hey, sorry, this has been a bad rule. We're not going to do it anymore. And that's the way the thing is like, remember that I ran a big league and I had a democracy, and it's just not the way to fucking do it. You don't,
it's not.
You have to run. This is the way it's going to go. Trust that I'm going to do the research. Trust that I'm going to ask the right questions. And at the end of the day, this is the fucking decision. And if you don't want to be here, that's fine. Fuck off. And so he's been that way the whole time, which is great. And you don't have to agree with all the rules, but you actually know that they're being enforced and they're being implied across a league-wide umbrella. And everyone has to play by the same things. And that, at the end of the day, that's really all anyone cares about.
Yep. And to kind of add on to what you're saying, I mean, you can't have a democracy league. You just can't. I've been in so many leagues where they're like, all right, we're going to vote on this. And you know what? The fact of the matter is not everybody's going to like a rule. Somebody's going to always bitch and complain about something. There's always going to be something that somebody doesn't like, and you just can't please everybody. But if you make the rules fair and you enforce them, and you're like, listen, this is what it is, and this is how it's going to be, and if you don't like it, you can always find another home. But guarantee you, there's not too many leagues like this out here. You know what I mean? And judging from experience, I can tell you, I've ran a league personally myself, you know, back in the PlayStation days, and it's a lot of work. And I didn't even do as much as work, you know, as Nick is doing. But this was back then when technology wasn't as, you know, up to par how it is now. But it's, you know, like I said, you can't have a democracy. You just can't. And
obviously not. You can. And I tried to have a democracy, and that at the end of the day, that's why I left. But I mean, and you got to remember how many DMs he gets on people fucking complaining about a loss or about this or about that, or the guy didn't strafe for the first 2 yards. And then, you know, and then he has to go in and legitimately take all those complaints, review them, and then come up with an explanation to a user who thinks he got fucked by the system. I mean, like, we don't see any of that under the hood shit. So hats off to that. I mean, and after a while, people just understand that those are the rules and you better get in line or you can fucking find another league.
Yep. I mean, the rules are not bad. If you're a sim player, they're not bad. I mean, the only thing I think that is takes a little bit to get used to, if you're coming from if you're coming from a league that, you know, you can kind of like do adjustments, hot routes and stuff like that, that takes a little bit of adjustment. And then obviously not clicking on when they throw in the ball to, you know, intercept it or whatever, because there's times where people make throws and you're like, oh man, if I just would have clicked on them and pressed Y, interception, you know what I mean? But those things are easy to change. So, but well, yeah, I mean,
those rules are why we are the best league with the least turnover, because they attract people who are either committed to making those changes or understand why those changes are made.
Yep, I agree.
Period. Like, and so we need 32. Well, we got a lot more than 32. But the thing is we, even if you don't like the rule, you can go, yeah, I can see why they do that. I get it. I understand it creates a little bit more parity for the users. I love the fact that you have to actually draft for attributes now, opposed to having, say, just fast linebackers that I'm going to use or a fast safety. I mean, it creates a like-minded mentality that keeps the turnover very, very low. What about you, Rob?
I'm just going to say a few things on this topic because I know you guys hashed it out pretty good. But as far as some of the announcements on the rule changes, you know, he had made the comment that they're going to really look hard at the futures. I'm just going to throw one thought out there because I thought a lot about that because I thought, you know, if you're going to stay in the league, it's not that big of a deal. I totally understand where he's coming from. His point is, somebody comes in, trades away the entire future, and then exits stage right, and then a guy comes in and inherits a team and has nothing. If they give the commissioners, you know, I don't know how much power they're going to give the commissioners, but could you imagine if they would give the commissioners the ability to create a comp pick to where, you know, if we did do future trades and somebody would inherit a team with no first-round picks, they could get a first-round comp pick or something. You know what I mean? Some kind of a supplement to offset that person that had nothing to do with the damage. But overall, I don't have any problems with the rules.
Yeah, I don't think Madden's ever going to get to that level of detail. But yeah, I like the concept. But, you know, we'll see. They made a step in the right direction there. All right. So, sorry that I'm coughing, guys. It's just the end. We got tips for new users, and then in brackets we have van questions. So tips for new users is always a great thing, because what we just said, we have a whole bunch of new rules that people aren't used to, and a lot of new users come in and they're looking for tips. They're not audibling five times, not hot writing, they're not doing this. So what I can do is, hold on, I'm just gonna let my dog out. Okay.
Brought to you and sponsored by the dog.
Sponsored by, his name is Vincent. Sponsored by Vincent. So what I would say is, like, when my game got more consistent, like, I would be like, you know, I wouldn't have those really shitty seasons, which I still kind of do. I watch way more film than I used to. And when I say watch film, I will have a notepad and I will write down the timestamp when somebody ran a play that looked really, really fucking good. And it doesn't matter whether it's a new user or a bad user or a great user or a guy with Super Bowls. Everyone's got different playbooks. And sometimes those users that aren't very good have a couple of sneaky plays in there, like a, you know, like an RPO or that they've spent time on their playbook. And I will hit the timestamp. I will go back, I will take a screenshot of the formation in the play, and I will go and test it out in my playbook. And by the fourth season, half of my playbook is stuff that I've written down from stuff that I've seen people work on and that people are having a hard time to defend. That is my number one tip for any new users. Rev, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I mean, I'm a returning/new user. I will say this, you know, to kind of add on to what you were saying. What I've done is, I don't have the liberty, unfortunately, right now until summertime's over, where I can watch more games. But the games I do pick up, I mean, I've taken a couple of plays from certain users that I've seen, and I'm like, you know, especially if they beat me with it, I literally will take it and I will go in practice mode and I will run it and I'll be like, oh, okay, this is pretty good. This will confuse the defense and whatever. And I've noticed that a lot of plays that are so hard to defend with the rules we have in place are those plays where, like, the RPO motions or those little mountain halfback swings, or where receivers are in motion, you know, not where you were manually doing it, where they're, you know, the play's designed that way. And, you know, those plays, they cause confusion for the defense, especially if you're running man and that slot corner doesn't run with that receiver. It's almost like the defense gets stuck and they don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
So terrible, yeah. And one more thing that I wanted to add is our top users are the best at offering information. Like, I will tell anybody who's listening, any new user that listens to this in the future, email Jack or DM Jack. Like, honestly, Jack will tell you exactly what he does. So will Jiggy. So will Nick. They will tell you exactly. They don't hide information. They don't have their playbooks close to their chest. They will tell you how they do it. And if you're having a hard time with a certain user, and send them a clip. I will tell you right now, they will tell you exactly how to fucking beat it. And I don't think enough new users do that, or they don't use that resource. Rob, what do you think about what I just said?
Well, as far, I'm glad you asked, because as far as tips for new users, I look at this question totally different. And this is coming from somebody that's been in the league, that loves the league, that I bleed XCFL. My tip to new users is get involved. I don't care about wins and losses. I'm not in this league to win Super Bowls. I'm going to be straight up with everybody. I'm not here to win Super Bowls. Would it be cool to make the playoffs? Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, does it stink to lose? Yeah, it does, but I'm not here for that. I'm here for the community. Get involved. Whether that's being on podcasts or writing articles or getting involved in chat or, you know, just whatever you do, there's so many little trinkets that you, if you just sit and watch. I mean, I love to just click on and watch Boone, watch his stream. I get the biggest kick about that, and I like to get on there and chat with him when he's playing, and it's fun. To me, that's my answer to the question. Get involved. This is a fun league. The more people get involved, the more fresh that you see, the more, you know, like this podcast, great conversations, you know, listening to you, getting to know you a little bit more this year, Van. But to me, that's my tip. Get involved.
And you know what? That's in a totally different, fresh angle. Yeah. I appreciate that angle, Rob. And I think that's a good one. I mean, our waiting list right now, man, it's deep. It's deep. And this is the only league that I've seen. Like, you got to figure that CFMs are getting deleted this year and guys were giving up on playing in CFMs, and we went right through. So those are great tips, man. Love that, guys. Rev, that was a great question. Thanks. So the next one. And Rob, I'm going to start with you on this. So put a bullet in your gun here. If you had to pick, where would you like to pick in the team draft, excluding being number one, of course? You're high up there, so it's you know, I'm really interested to hear what you have to say on that.
Number two, plain and simple. Really? If I can't be number one, I'd just soon be number two.
And why is that?
When I go to pick a team, you know, obviously, you know, it's not like you can't hide from anybody in the XCFL. There are so many good players. I mean, you know, we talked earlier, and nobody even brought up the name Tosh, and he's like one of the most amazing players. Trust me, he smacks me twice a year in the debit. That there's so many good players. You're not gonna skirt away. You're gonna have good competition, whether it's in your division, in your conference. You're gonna have good competition. I say pick number two, get a team that you're willing to have fun with, whether it's your favorite team, whether it's a team that's got a really hot rookie or a really hot veteran or some kind of unicorn. Get that team and then sit back, crack open a beer, and just enjoy the show. And that way you can just, the pressure's off, the pick's made. You can just enjoy it, see who's going to join you in the division, start thinking ahead about, hey, I'm going to, you know, this is going to be, you know, a really good hookup, or, you know, just pick number two, get it over with, enjoy the show.
So with that said, who are you taking?
With the number two pick, no.
Yeah, no, you're going to be, you know, you're top three. Who are you, you know, are you still on the Bills? Are you on KC? Like, what's,
what, you know,
you, this there, is the reason why we have these users is so we can give them inside content, man.
Well, here's some good inside content. I did some strange work when that beta came out. And when I say strange, I simulated some different seasons. I had a list and I crossed some teams off the list that are going to be difficult. Not saying, I mean, we all have teams that's a little difficult at the beginning. There were some that got eliminated just because it looked like there was going to be a lot of problems ahead in a year or two. And then there were some that just looked like they were going to be a lot of fun. I narrowed my list down. We're going to find out here in about we're going to find out in about 9 days where Rob's going.
Sorry, folks. Okay, Rev, where would you like to pick in the team draft and why?
I want to ask a question to Rob, and then I'll answer if you don't mind. Okay, so you said pick number two and you wanted to pick your favorite team. What if you could be pick number, let's say 22, right, hypothetically, and you were able to still get the Bills? Would you still want to be number two, or would you not care at that point?
Honestly, last year I picked number two and I took the Texans. I just didn't get it over with, and that way, you know, you don't have to worry about watching the DM for Nick to send you a message, and I mean, you can just get it over with. You know, usually sitting around, the kids are usually watching it with me, so you know, we can get it over with, have some good laughs. May or may not pop a video up on the screen and everybody gets a good chuckle, and then just sit back, drink a few cold ones, and just watch the show. So definitely two, always.
All right. Looking forward to your next video for your team selection. I still say the Walking Dead one was my favorite.
So Rob is a first ballot Hall of Famer on the internet for his videos. We had the Bomber League comment. Like, we had everybody's like, who is this guy? I mean, Rob, it doesn't get spoken about enough. I mean, every league that runs a CFM 1 year, the one that he did as Buffalo, they all chimed in and said, who is this guy? I thought Rob was going to get poached for his content.
I think I actually shot my video this week. And I believe this is my fifth video, if I'm not mistaken, or fourth video. And I'm not gonna lie, guys, I think I've outdone myself.
Rob, so. I thought I saw a dolphin's colored parachute. was that a faux pas?
I seen Jiggy doing some deep diving in the background, scoping around to see. I had put a lot of work in that evening. I'm not sure if there was any Easter eggs in the background or not.
Okay. Well, I think there are some Easter eggs. So if anybody hasn't seen, go check that video out. All right. So we're going to be, this is another great question by Rev. If you could bring back, I want you to do this one. You could bring back you know what? I'll comment quickly on the team draft. I am going to be from 11 to 15. That gives me enough leeway to see my division and pick a good team. I'm a mid pack guy. Right? Okay. You're going to get one of your top five, no matter what, and you're going to get a basic glimpse of the division.
You there, man?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, so you get – so that's kind of my thing. So the next question, if you could bring back any coach –
oh, there he is.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. I don't know what's going on, but okay.
That was weird.
If you could bring back any coach – to his left or retired from the XFL, who would it be? Now, Rob, I'm going to start with you because, you know, you've been here longer than Rev. I'll comment and then I'll ask Rev. I'm curious to see what he thinks on this. But, Rob, who would you bring back?
Well, when I read that question, it really got me thinking and reminiscing. I've watched a lot of folks, shared time with them, and you get to know them and honestly, it's a crusher. It's a crusher when they leave because, you know, you miss them. I know that sounds corny, but I mean, I'm just being sincere. But the one person that I do talk to on a daily basis that whether he wants to admit it or not, misses us like crazy is Higgy. I just had a conversation with him today when I was drinking coffee this morning, and I said, would you ever come back? Would you? And of course, he hem-haws around, and that right there is all you need to know. And it's like, you know, it's like, dude, what? I don't understand. I mean, you had fun. We had a heck of a podcast, the Higgy and Rob show. It was,
yeah,
you know, it was good times. I mean, would I love for him to come back? I'd love to see him come back.
That's a great choice. I mean, the thing with Higgy too, everyone liked him.
Yeah.
Everyone liked him. He played Sim. He was a good active user. That's a great choice. I think I'd bring back Brian.
I like Brian.
And right, just Brian for the passion. Like, you know, Brian got pissed as fuck playing a game and would yell, and we all get that mad. Brian just vocalized it. Right? Like
Brian versus Boone.
Oh. And I miss his passion because we're all made up. We're all made up of that level of passion. And we all show it in different ways. And Brian really loved the game and hated losing and was super competitive. And I miss that. I really do. And I miss Hammer too.
I miss Hammer. Yep.
Like, I mean, I was friends with Hammer and we would talk on the phone. We would talk on the phone and, like, you know, I knew, you know, what his life was about. So I miss him a lot. But this same thing, Hammer was super passionate, right? And he didn't like losing. The problem is he wasn't as good as Brian.
Well, and I honestly think, I truthfully think, whether he wants to admit it or not, part of Higgy's problem was they put that power division together with all them super teams. And it's the old be careful what you wish for, because you got to be a little bit humble. I mean, you got to be willing to take a loss and be part of this league. And it's okay to take a loss. It's not, you know, you just can't take it that deep, that personal.
Well, there's
also miss Regan.
There's a whole, yeah, I miss Regan too. There's a whole bunch of you say Brian was better than me, but let's say me, Brian, Regan, who sit just above 500, who win more than they lose, so that it really makes getting your ass kicked by a top user even harder because they're not used to it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a terrible loser. My sportsmanship, Rob, should be lower than yours. I'm sorry about that. So my ratings are going to reflect that because my sportsmanship hasn't been great for that. But Rev, I know it was a great question. I know you've only been here a long time, but is there anybody that you'd bring back, or do you? Do you hear of a legend that you'd like to have come back to league?
Honestly, I would. I would like to see two people come back. I would. I know I'm being greedy, right? I would like to see Reagan come back because I was actually when I was doing my homework, doing my mock draft, and I was like trying to find out like where I think Nick is going to go, which I still say Arizona Cardinals until that day comes and he picks somebody else. But I want to see Reagan come back. I was digging through some stuff and I actually got access to one of my older Discords because I was cleaning out some of my stuff in Gmail, and I saw some conversations that I had with Reagan and my alter account, my anxiety account. And I had some really really deep conversations with him about what was going on, you know, for his loss that he had. And I would like to see him come back with his, you know, Reagan's Part of My Interruption. I know people used to always tease him all the time, you know, with, with the show and whatnot, but I think he's just one of those guys that is just a very interesting character to have in the league. And you need people like that, you know, to kind of, it have fun, you know what I mean? And then another guy I would like to have, and this might not be a fan favorite pick, but I would like to see Wings come back. I think Jiggy's the villain right now, and I think we need a little bit more. We need another villain, just sort of like go with Jiggy, so that way there, you know, the hate can be spread around evenly a little bit.
I was wondering why my podcast should have a barf bag. Now I know.
But yeah, I mean, competition's always good because, I mean, it's good and bad. I mean, if you're not the greatest user in the world, or if you're like in between, you're like average, you know, then you're getting your ass kicked. And when you get people like this that are really, really good, you know, but I always say good competition's either going to do one or two things. It's either going to just, you know, either make you improve your game, or you're just going to continue to suck and you're either going to enjoy it or you're not. And I think, like, to add to what Rob said, you got to have fun in this league. Like, you can't take it too personal. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a video game. I mean, it's not like we're out there, you know, with our you know, football uniform, our helmet. We're out there playing. We're actually playing, you know what I mean? We're not even playing virtual VR football. We're like, you know what I mean? We're playing with, you know, with a controller. And there's just things about this game that are just busted and it will never be fixed. And we'll be like, you know, 100 years old, and if we're still alive, we'll be still complaining about the same thing we've been complaining about 50 years ago. And
that's fair.
It's just, you know, it's just, it is what it is. I think the community, for me anyways, the community is what keeps me, you know, going. Because there's games where I'm like, fuck this game. Like, you know what I mean? And then I'm just like, after I let it go and I take my 15 minutes of harassing and, you know, assaulting the ME6 bot and DMs, then I just kind of think, I'm like, you know, I got my ass kicked. It is what it is. Grab a beer or something and just,
you're one of the great new members, man. And that is one of the reasons why you guys come in and you take over a shitty roster. Everyone else had a massive head start on you. And you guys stay positive. You stay part of the community, and you know you don't detract from it. And that's a hard thing to do. I don't know if I could do it. So hats off there. I know that all the new guys have been kind of like that. So that's great stuff. Hats off to you all for that. One more quick question before we go: how many donations do we see now that everything's going to be tight? That's a lot of money to move up, but 150 points is 150 points. Rob, do you think? You think anybody's going to drop that money?
Every year it happens. I mean, I think what Brian did it once or twice in the past.
I've done it once.
The shuffle is coming pre-team draft as far as the placement goes. And then every year after the team draft, after all the hoopla, all the chaos, then there's always the shuffle again. And then it seems like, you know, then everything gets back to normal. We get going, but there will be at least one.
Rev, where do you think you're going to end up?
Oh, that's pretty interesting. So I've been trying to beat the system, and I've been doing a lot of math and, arguing with.
I know you have, and that's why I definitely
arguing with Elio and everybody else about freaking, you know, God knows what at this point. I remember when I DM Nick and I was like, hey, I was like, if I make a donation, I'm targeting, I want to be like top 15. Do you think I can get there?
He can't tell you that.
No. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to give you the response. He's like, well, I can't tell you the answer. He's like, but you know, it'll give you the best, you know, outcome. Like he gave me like a generic response. And then when I climbed to like 14, I'm like, oh shit, maybe I can be top 10. Right, so I got a little bit greedier, and I'm like, you know, what if I can be top 10? So now I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at everybody, what they're doing, and, you know, like, I think you're ahead of me. I think you're like 12, I believe. So we obviously got the show, so, you know, we're doing that, whatnot. And then I'm looking above me, and I'm like, okay, it's JMO, and then, it's, you know, the top 10 guys, and I'm like, I wonder between this content and whatnot, I'm like, so I ended up making a donation. I won't give the specific amount, but you know, I'll give the one hint.
There you have it, folks.
It's over $50. I definitely donated more than that. All right. I won't give the specific amount. I'll leave it a mystery.
Okay.
But I don't know. I kind of wanted to be greedy, and I kind of wanted to be top 10 because I would take it as an accomplishment. I mean, when I started, I mean, what I've only been in the league for what, like two seasons, and I started at like 29. And even if I stood at 14, let's just say, you know, that donation and all these articles and this pods don't do nothing, I would still be good with that, because it's like I climbed up 15 spots from the bottom and got in between in the middle of everything. I think based on the points and everything, and based on what I'm seeing, people kind of like sort of like self-destructing, I would say if one user doesn't donate, and this is Elio, if he doesn't donate, I think I will place right below the top 10. I think I'll place a pick 11.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and you're kind of all over the map with the teams too.
Yeah, you know, when I made that list at first, I made that list and it was like sort of like a premature list, and I know I have to update it. Because it's not like some of the teams I have on there, and then, you know, there's some teams on there that I won't pick, and it's not even more so like, oh, they're not a good team, but now that we're getting closer to the team draft, I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, what is the best team out of that conference? Like, I can't decide who's going to jump, you know, join, because they're going to look at my user record. I'm like, oh, he's under 500. Let's go join him and let's go beat up on him. It's easy division. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at him like, okay, well, if you guys are going to bully me anyways, what's the best team out of each division and whatnot? So I started doing that. And I went through like every roster through the beta, and I was breaking down like what I would be okay with, what I wouldn't. And I ended up getting like 11 teams. But then when I actually looked at it and looked in the division, I'm like, I really only down to like 3 teams. So my list is a lot shorter than that top 5. I can tell you that.
Nice.
All right. Well, it was a great conversation as always, guys.
Very much.
So we will look up at maybe doing one before team draft or whatever it may be. So keep your ears open and eyes peeled. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate the time. And Rev, once again, thank you for the questions.
All right, no problem. And I did have one question for you.
Okay. Ben. Yeah.
Right, so this one was actually like something I thought about right before we started. So, well, actually, you know what? We can do both of you, actually, because you guys better. So through this series of being in XCFL, name a favorite moment or time or team, you know, it could be a team as well, that you've had that you're like, man, I can't get any more happier than this.
Does it have to be can it be someone's demise, or can it be my own? Like,
it could be yours, or maybe you're happy for somebody, but I mean, I was really more targeting like personal, like your own, like, okay. Could be like, I don't know, a moment or a time, or like, say, for example, you're in the championship game and you lose to Jack, and then you're like, oh, I hope you lose Jack, you know, you bomb it, and you lose this, you know, that sort of thing.
I haven't had a lot of success for the level that I think I'm in the list of people who, you know, say I should be next in line for Super Bowl, but I just don't have the ability to win one. So I can't say there's a lot, but there was one where I made the NFC Championship and I was like super pumped. And I'm like, okay, this is my year. And it was last cycle and I lost to Boone. So yeah. And Boone was on fire at that point. I mean, I don't know, but I think making it all the way there, was kind of cool. That's all I gotta say. Rob, what do you think?
Well, I looked it up the other day. I think I've played 53 seasons of the XCFL, which, of course, you know, that's through the COVID times, which, if you want to know the honest truth, those were fun times. It was not uncommon, and I'm not kidding, to have we joked about it all the time, have a double, you know, a night where there was a double advance. And I'm serious as a heart attack. And Rev, I'm going to tell you right now, we had Madden Gen players retiring, which was just insane. But we had played 13 seasons. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah. It was Rob. That's a great answer, man. That way to go.
That was awesome. I mean, that was an awesome time for everybody.
And I'll tell you, it got a lot of us through some pretty shitty times stuck home.
Oh yeah. I mean, the world was, yeah, it was, I wish in hindsight, I've always said, and me and Higgy talk about this to this day, I wish we would have taken advantage of that and did more broadcasting, because there were so many people that would have cabbaged on to the XCFL as far as a watching tool, because I was watching some guy that created a marble league. Literally, I mean, it was a running joke, but we would watch this guy that had a competitive marble league, and it was insane how many followers he got.
Right. Well, so for Madden 24, and if we want to keep this crew together, I want to go over like dogs of the week, blowouts of the week. You know what I mean? Like, we want to go over surprises of the week, and maybe throw in a few broadcast games, maybe for the big, big games, you know? So if you guys are into that, we can do that too moving forward.
Makes it fun. I mean, if you go back and look at some of the past XCFL broadcast, I mean, Brody Springs caught the touchdown. You know, my offensive guard caught that touchdown on an XCFL telecasted game. I thought that was so awesome.
Yeah. And I know that we advance fast, but if you're on top of it, we can do it instead of a podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't know if you guys, there's this other guy. He does like the whole broadcast thing, and he's pretty good with it. I've seen a couple people actually, do some like broadcast games and like give some really good, you know, an actual good feel for like an actual game. Like you're like, oh, I'm actually watching a real game. I wouldn't mind doing like an actual broadcast game and like, you know, where, you know, we're, you know, game of the week, like maybe we can coordinate with Nick and get like sort of a game of the week schedule. And, you know, maybe it won't be every single game of the week, but it'll just be like one of those big games, like maybe two undefeated teams, or maybe we can do the postseason or something. But I'm definitely all for it, because that, like I said, it's those things like that that keep me motivated. Like I could go 0-16 and I, you know, I can give a rat's ass about it, as long as I'm, you know, doing something outside of the game that's, you know, contributed to the league. So.
And it's something that we're not doing now because people are afraid of the fast advances. If we can stay on top of that, we're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think with the fast advances though, and I've noticed that, and there's only a few users that do it. You got some users that either give you a time. They're like, yeah, I can play. I don't know. What's today? Friday. I can play Sunday. And you're like, all right, Sunday it is, you know. And so you put in the chat, like, all right, Sunday. You get the poop emojis under your, you know. And then all of a sudden they're just like, hey, I could play the next 20 minutes. Do you want to go? And they're like, you know what? All right, you know, I'll play. Why not? And then that other person that made plans with their family, because I always tell people, I'm like, when I'm scheduling people, I'm like, if you just let me know in advance, I'm like, you know, if I don't have Madden going on, you know, Madden, you know, XCFL game scheduled, I plan things around my family, like, you know, with the kids and the wife on the weekends and whatnot. So like my son will ask me, like, Dad, what are you doing? You got a game, you got a podcast? And if I tell him no, he's like, hey Dad, let's do this or let's go there. And, you know, and my wife would be like, hey, I want to go out. I want to do this, or I want to go out, you know, let's go on a date or something. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks guys again, and look for us next week. Peace.
Thank you, guys.
Peace.